Hello and welcome to Sprofcast, the English language Sprofcover No podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I am ready to call it as autumn.
Are you?
Yes.
Are you officially calling that?
I feel it's come.
Yes.
I feel it started around about 4:30, 4:45 on Sunday.
Really? Was that your official line?
It was quite nice, and then it started going a bit chilly, and then ever since.
That's true. We were watching Malomirica. I haven't used this word for them before, but slump to a 1-0 yes. defeat to Zhebiatin.
Let me tell you, it was not a feel-good atmosphere at Borki like we're used to.
Yeah. Although there is a bar there now.
The part with food and
yeah,
things.
If you're
mad.
A fan of Brno's local football, you can do a lot worse than
spend no money to go see a game of football.
Yes, at
Malomirica.
MCV Lyman Cement Malomirica. Anyway, that's not why we're here. We're here to talk about football at a slightly higher level, only slightly. It is the Ruha Liga, and we have two games to talk about against Příbram and against Viktoria Žižkov. We are previewing
Ústí and Sparta B.
Yeah.
I'll take the crab juice.
Disgusting, yeah. We've got your regulars and apparently
A very brief quiz. Very brief.
Well, there's a lot to look forward to, so let's get right into it. Right, Central Bohemia welcomed myself and Ben. You didn't make the trek up, and boy, are you glad you didn't.
Yeah, because frankly, David, I didn't want to. And
which is fair.
Boy, was I glad. I got a really good view of the game.
Yeah,
from
your sofa, yeah.
Yes, so this was, again, another one of these games that are frankly preposterous. Friday at 5 slot, which makes it very difficult for away fans, and there were some but not many, I think it's fair to say.
25 was the official count. I counted 21 when I was there, and I was angrily corrected on Facebook by a commenter, but I think I missed 4 that had come in after I took the count. Uh-huh. So, yeah,
I've seen worse.
Yeah, I don't blame myself actually. Mm-hmm.
You got the whole of the big stand.
Yep. That whole of the massive stand behind the goal. And actually, we nearly outnumbered Pribram's fans, who are few and far between.
Who had a drum and went, Příbram, Příbram.
Oh, so you were there? Did it? Yeah.
Yeah. I came in as the masseuse.
So yeah, it was. I mean, as a sort of day and a bit away, it was all right. We had a nice place to stay, a little sort of cottage in the weirdness of Príbram, which I will be talking about in a bit. But what happened in the game? Well, very little. I have a first conceptual question for you here.
Sure.
Do Zbrojovka play down or up to the level of their opposition? Or do we simply struggle with opponents where we're expected to play on the front foot?
Can I be very unhelpful, David, and
yes.
say, can't it be both?
It absolutely can be both, yes.
It can be both.
because this was an example of that.
There's a very specific way that teams like to set up against Zbrojovka. Actually, I'll be honest, that very specific way tends to be 4-2-3-1. But it tends to actually be a way that stifles any sort of creativity in midfield and really sort of turns into this bogging, sort of like entrenched, reasonably quite slow game with every so often quick breaks and balls going out of play left, right and centre. It doesn't need to happen because I don't think we're really known for an expansive midfield these days.
No.
So, but this is the way that you tend to be able to go to Zbrojovka and grind out results. This, I mean, even when we were undoubtedly the poorer team, this has happened before. You had Zlín, for example, setting up a very similar way last season.
Yeah.
I think also the second Mladá Boleslav game would also be one of these ones where it just sort of just gets pinged about a lot around the centre circle.
And then if we're in any sort of tight space, we can't string passes together at all. Yeah. This was absolutely this game in microcosm. Whenever we got into the final third, any ball under pressure or any attempt at a final ball was so poor. Mm-hmm. It was so bad. Like people, you know, attempting simple 10-yard passes and it going out for throw-in. It was just so bad. And Reznicek looking more and more furious and red in the face and waving his arms at him, getting absolutely no service and completely isolated in the middle. We did win 1-0. I will tell you that for now. But
skin of our teeth.
Yeah. It was 0-0 would absolutely have been a fair result. Mm-hmm. It wasn't great.
I'll tell you, you know what the most exciting part of the game was?
What was that?
The last 5 minutes when Příbram were attacking and going absolutely gung-ho.
They could have nicked a point were it not for a superb bit of goalkeeping by Burkovic stopping Volta at almost point-blank range. We'd already gone... We went 1-0 up on the 84th minute. Shevchik scoring from a bit of a sort of a crossing scramble nonsense. Shevchik, who will feature prominently in the next match report and is looking more and more like he's the first name on the team sheet. He was very impressive in that. He was the only impressive player, apart from, actually, no, Berkovets did his normal, you know, keeping mm-hmm. people out display. And that save right at the death, woof. That was very, very good indeed.
Yeah, no, like I was racing sort of to the end there, mostly because it's the only part of the game that I can really remember.
Yeah.
But my recollection of it, at least watching it at the time, was, I say as if it was like 10 years ago, when I was watching it at the time, it wasn't terrible, it was just dull, was my recollection of it. Like, I thought in the middle of the part, in terms of like trying to sort of get it around a bit, it was okay. But there was never, like you say, any sort of drive. There's no final ball. We don't do final balls that much.
There was just an overall lack of quality from both teams. Mm-hmm. It was a game very low on quality, very low on decent chances. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was again, it's a cliche, but you know, mark of champions winning these horrible, you know, away games against mid-table teams who are not there to play. Yeah.
I'm actually just going to say it now. Like, I was going to maybe save this later on for a preview. But honestly, I think that there is, for example, a reason why we are first and Sparta's fucking B team are second. Is because generally, I think that there is actually just a complete lack of quality in this league this year. And it's always been a really competitive second tier in Czech football. Mm-hmm. I think you've seen some fantastic displays. I thought we've been good, the last season or so. Dinamo Česká Budějovice, when they were running away
very
with it. Organization of teams like Pardubice. And then that season when Pardubice went up, it was really close. Around sort of four teams could have very easily, been top two. You know, when it came back in spring. But this year, everyone just looks crap.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
And we are, I think, by hook or by crook, you know, got ourselves to the position we have in the league by basically being slightly less crap and scoring late.
Yeah, that's fair.
I really think that that's the sort of situation. And, you know, the question is as well, that, you know, if we do maybe get out of this league, and this is absolutely a question for February or so, is will we not just go straight back down again? Will we have this sort of Norwich thing where we just scoosh the second tier, go up, and they were just awful?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, and one which may become relevant later.
Does this make Shevchik Billy Gilmore?
Oh. So what's the deal with Příbram? You are clamoring to know, I'm sure you are. Well, it is a weird place. It's a very, very strange town indeed.
Where is it, by the way, before you get launched into this?
Yes.
Where is it on the Yablonets psychometer?
It's not as sort of bizarrely, cadaverously scary as Yablonets. Uh-huh. It was nice enough. Everyone we met was perfectly friendly.
Okay.
But it's just odd because it's a town where there shouldn't really be a town. There's no discernible center to it. Mm-hmm. You will know this from being there last time, that it's just it's single blocks of buildings separated by bits of forest and hills and weirdness.
And there's roads with no pavements, cobbled
roads with no pavements. And the stadium is, well, you have to walk across fields and jump across a stream, let's put it that way. It's not near anything, it's literally in a field by itself.
It's beside allotments, if I remember. We were just like in people's back gardens.
Yeah, it's really, really odd. Anyway.
Not bad pub beside it, though.
Příbram is a town of 30,000 people, your typical Czech size for a sort of middling town. Mm-hmm. In the 17th and 18th century, it was a centre for iron and silver mining, which is where it got its money from. And it was, yeah, it's not far from Prague. It's about an hour south of Prague, maybe 45 minutes if you're driving south of Prague, in central Bohemia. And in the 1950s, it was a centre of uranium mining, leading to the formation of the Příbram Vojna and Příbram Brod forced labour camps. With up to 800 detainees at a time. So that was fun. New residential buildings were also added, and that's what built what is now sort of the town centre. I will say sort of the town centre because when we left the ground, we had an idea we would walk into town, but it's still a fair hack. It's about a mile and a half, 2 miles, and it's mainly uphill. Mm-hmm. So we stuck thumbs out, hoping that some, you know, cheerful person would give us a lift into town. A car of Zbrojovka fans stopped and we managed to, like, yoink a lift into town. However, there is so little centre, we just said, can you take us to the town centre? And they went, well, what do you mean by that then? So I nominated a street and we went there. We turned up in what is ostensibly the main square and has the only two pubs in the centre of Příbram in it. One of them was full, you needed a reservation to get in. The other was an Italian restaurant in which we went, and it was full of, like, you know, bow tie and waistcoated waiters serving Příbram's best stroke only Italian food. It was very weird. But these two places had all of Příbram in them.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
So you didn't have to resort to Simpson's Burger.
Shasha Burger. No. Which, by the way, is such a well-known thing that the Zbrojovka fans managed to get a chant mocking Shasha Burger.
Oh, no way!
The only burger place in the whole of the city. Apparently, it's that well-known for being, like, one of the only three places you can get food in the whole town. It was very, very weird.
Why did you stay in Příbram? Why did you not just go back to Prague?
Seriously, when we were in the car getting a lift, the lads were like, so station, is it? And we're like, no. What do you mean, no? Are you not staying in Prague? No. But the reason for this was we'd rented what turned out to be a cottage. It was very, very nice. There was a big garden, so we could sit out. And there was a sauna. So we went back. We had a couple of bottles of wine, had a sauna. It was a very romantic evening. It was really weird. It's a really weird place. There's nothing to do.
See, I just don't think it's weird that you and Ben would just go and have a sauna. You know, I just don't find it weird at all.
Well,
to
there was
be
shit all else to do. You know.
Like I say, your relations develop from pink gins into match day one.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, you're gonna have to put up with me at the weekend, I'm afraid, this time.
Would you like to hear some music from Příbram?
Not really, but let's play it.
Well,
you've got it prepared.
Yeah. It is, as we know from their club hymna.
Oh, please, is it those guys?
I couldn't find out who that was. I couldn't find out who that was, actually. But it's very hip-hop heavy. It's that kind of town, like small, slightly rough outside of Prague. Like,
let's just say white.
Yeah, basically, lots of white boys trying to do hip-hop. Mm-hmm. So I have found what I think is the most professionally sounding bit of hip-hop from Příbram. Bands I didn't use, but there are some excellent names.
Good.
These are all just, you know, a mix of styles, yeah. Actually mainly metal or hip-hop. Mm-hmm. I didn't use No Time for Anything. Solid name.
I'll take it.
Picture imperfect. See what they did.
Don't know about that one.
The Prochne.
Yeah.
And a band called simply Panty.
That's absolutely, that's metal. That one's absolutely metal, isn't
no,
it?
No, they're like middle-aged lads doing like sort of folk. Like sort of folk pop. Panty.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a song called Sultani by an artist called... Sorry. By an artist called Kenny Van Dahl, a.k.a. Fate.
Kenny Van Dahl,
Kenny
a.k.a.
Van Dahl,
Fate.
Fate. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It sounds...
It's no in the pub, is it?
It sounds like this anyway. Vraždí, mám slávu, mám prachy, mám lásku, každý. Mám všechno, co chci, tohle je můj svět. Auta, love, kundi, fet. Všechny holky jsem měl, teď nemám co na práci. Tak přijď za mnou, baby, jsem ve svým paláci. Yeah. Každý nový věci o týdnu jsou starý, takže nechci vyhazu do bordelu jako naší novou vilu. My už many neřešíme, nechceme a nemusíme, kolik akcí zisku máme, vážně netušíme. Každý nový věci o týdnu jsou starý, takže nechci vyhazu do bordelu jako naší novou vilu.
Kenny Van Dahl.
So, yeah, Kenny Van Dahl.
He's no Kenny Loggins, is he?
AKA Fate.
Featuring Fag Majestic.
Featuring Fag Majestic.
But F-A-G.
Yes,
Majestic.
What did you think of that then?
I thought Fag Majestic's verse was pretty good.
Yeah, he was all right, wasn't he? Fag Majestic. Yeah. So yeah, that's the deal with Priram. It is a strange place with weird... old mine cart lines running through the town at random points. That was something I put a photo on the Zbrojovcast Facebook, actually, just like up the road from us. There was just like narrow gauge little mine cart lines that disappeared into like a closed off pit head, but just at the end of a residential street. It's very weird.
Do you think it goes into like the stage in Donkey Kong Country? Where they jump
he
in
is
there.
Hoping, yeah.
Dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun. When he dies. Great game. Coming up on Zbrojovcast.
You've got a quiz, apparently.
Apparently so.
Right, let's do that then. So, what's this quiz you've got?
It's called Nicknames CONCACAF Edition. Yeah, so I was looking at CONCACAF nations, or sort of nations, or... teams that have a football team in CONCACAF.
Okay.
Because I found out that some of them have some absolutely unreal team nicknames.
If people are listening don't know what is CONCACAF?
CONCACAF is your North American version of UEFA or whatever.
Yes.
They do the Gold Cup and things like that. So when you think of, classic CONCACAF nicknames, you think, for example, of Trinidad and Tobago, who are, of course...
The Trinidad and Tobagans.
The Soca Warriors.
The Soca Warriors.
And then you have Guyana, the Spice Boys. That's quite a good one, actually.
Yeah, Jamaica, Reggae Boys with a Z.
Yeah, Reggae Boys with a Z. So I've just got a list of five of them, and some of these are made up and some of these aren't.
Good. Okay,
so
good.
You're to tell me if this is a real nickname of the team or if it's not.
All right.
So we're going to start with Belize, who are known as the Unbelizables.
No.
They are known as the Unbelizables.
What? No, that is appalling.
Absolutely fantastic.
That's horrible. Okay. Well, that's set the bar of ridiculousness for this quiz.
This is what's burned on the quiz. I found that one out.
Dear me. Okay.
Okay, Curaçao. The Cocktail Boys.
Surely not.
Well, after Blue Curaçao, the spirit.
Yeah.
No, their actual nickname is La Familia Azul.
Well, okay, fair enough.
So there you go.
Sense, yeah.
All right. Your favourite of the small islands in the Caribbean. Of course, it's St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Ah, St. Vincent and the Grenadines. Are they also named after a cocktail?
Are they known or are they not known as Vinci Heat?
I really want them to be, so I'm saying yes.
They are known as Vinci Heat.
Oh, yes.
Wasn't too sure about that one. Okay, talking about ones with a Z. Are the British Virgin Islands, are they known as the Nature Boys?
The Nature Boys with a Z.
With a Z. So one for the wrestling fans as well.
They are not known as the Nature Boys.
Woo! They are known as the Nature Boys.
Okay.
And finally, Bonaire, the Fresh Princes.
No.
The Fresh Princes of Bonaire?
No.
Well, this is us. No, it's not. It's not. So, yeah. Absolutely nothing to do with Czech football.
That's all right.
Nothing to do with Příbram. I found their nicknames, some of them, quite alarming. Yes. So I thought we might as well share them with the wider
podcast audience. Yeah, that's absolutely legit.
The Nature Boys.
All right. Should we talk about something unnatural?
Unbelievable.
Should we talk about Viktoria Žižkov?
Okay. Oh, it's us on the podcast.
Yes.
Okay, so on...
Hello.
So on Sunday, at the rather silly time of 8 o'clock in the evening, we took on Viktoria Žižkov at Stadion Srpska, formerly known as the Uedos Arena, rest in peace. And it was... One of the good things, just to start us off, is that now that the nights are drawing in and it's getting dark at about 7:30 or whatever... I do like a game under the lights.
Yeah, yeah. For having very few people there, the atmosphere was actually all right. And I think half of it is to do with it being dark as well. It really adds to it, doesn't it? It's good.
The big question regarding the crowd that I have is...
What the fuck were the Žižkov fans doing?
There was about 30 of them. I thought there was quite a good attendance. They all ended up wearing some sort of white poncho, which from a distance looked like they were members of the KKK.
Yeah. Or, on a nicer note, as you pointed out, the Polyphonic Spring, yes. Which was a fantastic early 2000s indie reference.
One for the good. Indie fans, yeah. Yes. This was always going to be kind of an interesting game. And I think we discussed on the last podcast that the sort of the version of Dostalic ball that we play currently is not going to probably see us do something like beat them 6-1 or beat them 6-0 as we have in the last two games that we've had at home against them. So there was a lot of sort of trepidation and expectation, and it's sort of fair to say that this game started reasonably slow and pretty much stayed slow until the end of the game.
However, one thing I will say, and this is related to my, do we dive to opponents' levels or you know, do we struggle when teams set up that way against us? Žižkov came to play football, to be fair, and it was... slow. It was relatively, you know, sort of keeping each other at arm's length, slightly jabby. But it was a decent game of football, I thought. I enjoyed it. Like, it was, you know, it was slightly tactical, you know, slow. But I thought the overall quality was so much better than against Příbram. From both teams, I thought Žižkov turned up, you know, played some decent football. We played some decent stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I
thought it was all right.
Maybe I'm not the best judge of this because compared with how I watched the Příbram game, which was absolutely sober, I'd been drinking quite a lot by this point, and I was slowly approaching getting hammered when the game was underway. The way I would characterize this the performance was that basically I just thought that Zbrojovka were ever so slightly better than Příbram. In pretty much every area of the pitch.
You mean Žižkov?
Žižkov. Yes. I mean, yeah. Better than Příbram on Sunday night, considering they weren't there.
Yeah.
But no, I thought we were slightly... I thought we just edged Žižkov in most of the departments sort of the space that we were creating, in terms of what was happening in the midfield, the chances that were created, which were, I think, fair to say, few and far between for both sides. I think both maybe had a sort of 4 or 5 shots, you know, during the whole game that were on target. And generally just sort of the dig. I know that that's not really one of these things you measure, who wanted it more, but I just thought we were just slightly just edged it.
Yeah, I thought, as you say, few chances created, but I thought when we did go for, we looked slightly more incisive than we did against Sudan. We looked like we had a bit of a plan, or, you know, we there was slightly more quality from both sides, which which I enjoyed. From the off, Prikistal and Shevchik both looked really up for it. They were the stars of the game, I would say. Yeah. Shevchik kicking on from his winner against Pribram, and Prikistal actually opening the scoring, exchanging passes with Reznyar from a sort of corner, wasn't it, I think. And the ball goes back in, and he sort of stabs it home on 23 minutes. So, yeah, like I said, both teams have been sort of circling each other, doing kind of exploratory jabs. But yeah, we drew first blood. And then 10 minutes later, 34 minutes, as a corner cleared, Josef Bazal smacks it back into the area, and the hapless Lukasz Endel gets in the way, and it deflects horribly past Martin Berkovets to make it 1-1.
It's a shame for Endel, who has this week on the Zbrojovka's social media channels been pretty heavily previewed, let's say, and sort of featured.
He's been, you know, breakout good. Star of the season, I would say, I so far. Been he's been very good. Like, all of the you know, blah about, oh, Krzysztofek's back from 18 months out injured, we've got Honza Szczerba from Olomouc, we've got this, we've got that. Who's come through? An 18-year-old centre-half who is absolutely blowing both of them out of the water.
How are you assessing Szczerba at the moment?
I'm not. He doesn't really cross my radar, to be honest.
I'm a very unconvincing player, I would find. But not bad for Endel, considering that Endel was sort of thrown in, you know, into the deep end, because obviously he'd had I think, a couple of games in the in the second league back when we were down there the first time, when he was still 17 or whatever. And then when we had the defender crisis at the start of our season, it's like, surprise, you're going to be playing 90 minutes against Sparta Prague.
Yeah.
it was a little bit of a tough one for the boy, but he looks like he's coming on good now.
Yeah, he's come back really strong, and he seems very comfortable at this level. Hopefully he can make the step up. Yeah. Like we said, still no age for a centre-half whatsoever. He's doing very, very well. Very impressed. And it is unlucky that... Well, it's not unlucky that that gets called an own goal, because it clearly is. The deflection was massive. But it's, sure. you know, unlucky that it's him. So the first half finishes 1-1. The second half kicks off. Ball goes back. Shevchik carries it into the opposition half. Sends it wide to Prikistal. Back inside to Folsek. And it's 2-1.
Yeah, in around the same amount of time that it took you to say, you know, second half.
14
to
seconds
there,
it was, yes.
It was actually 14. Yeah. Okay. It was...
incisive.
Shell-shocked. Yes. One of the cliche terms that's used. Yeah, it was a very... it wasn't a strange goal. It was quite a well-worked goal. It was a really good goal.
It was very good, yeah.
I just don't expect Zbrojovka to come out, you know, that fast after the second half. Yeah,
not even all guns blazing. A gun blazing would make a change, but yeah. there it was, 2-1. And we rode our luck occasionally in the second half. There was a point with about 20 minutes to go where I thought, we're gonna throw this away, aren't we? Because Viktorka got back on top. Helped no end by their, you know, jogging white beponchoed polyphonic spree fans.
I thought you were going to say spurred on by their Egyptian under 23 prospects.
What?
Of which there were two of them.
Oh yes, of course.
Remember the Al Ahly.
That's right. Yeah.
Cooperation, which must go down as one of the strangest cooperations I've ever heard.
That is
of.
A weird one. Yeah. But no, I wasn't going to say that, and I didn't. But we did well to hold on. I think, as you said, I think we were just generally a little bit better overall. 2-1 seems fair, but it was exactly one of those games where you felt like we absolutely, you know, we could have absolutely Zbrojovka'd it up properly and thrown that one away and dropped 2 points, but we didn't. And 2-1 it remained. So that was very good. Anything else to add on?
Nope.
Viktorka? No, me either. So, let's talk about what we have discovered is hot or not. That's next. The heart or not section is what I'm talking about. The heart or not section is where we're gonna find out that football wins and football fails are judged on an edited temperature scale. The heart or not section is coming to you now. I'll be impressed if you know that. In fact, I know you won't know it, actually.
I was getting strong chicken tonight vibes off of it at some point. It's the tune sounds familiar, but there's no chance of me ever getting it.
No, it's actually a song I only use because of we were talking about Příbram. It's called Uranium Fever. It's okay. By a guy called Elton Britt. It was released in 1955. There's absolutely no... No.
Right. My question, how the fuck do you know about this song?
It's on the soundtrack to Fallout 4.
Oh, okay. That's one of these games, isn't it?
It is one of these games.
You have a watch and it does stuff and it's all radioactive or something.
That's right. Radioactive! Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Imagine dragons, Sam. Just imagine. Can you imagine dragons?
I imagine having a social life. it's hot or not.
Yeah, it's hot or not. Sorry, I can't fucking stand Imagine Dragons, by the way. Band, shit name.
I don't think I've ever... You know what? I don't think I've heard a single Imagine Dragons song.
I bet you have, just purely through just, you know, whatever. Anyway, hot or not, I have actually two hots.
Okay.
And a very short not.
Uh-huh. I've kept it traditional.
I can give you my not right now because you mentioned it earlier.
Okay.
Norwich.
Oh, yeah.
Just that. I was going to expand more, but I think you said it all earlier. Yeah. What's the point?
Shall I just do my not then, just to get them both out of the way?
Yeah.
Aberdeen.
Okay, fine.
I'm not happy with what's happening right now. We can move on.
The glass revolution.
Well, it's very much like a glass revolution because it's fucking fragile at the back, isn't it?
Yeah,
it was awful. Like that, just that we haven't won a game since match day two of the Scottish Premiership, and then I was putting up with the St Johnstone game, and Stevie May comes on for St Johnstone. It's like he's going to score.
May 83,
of course he scored.
Yeah,
couldn't he fault the boys? Shut up.
All right. I've got a hot. My hot is the return of the comedy injury.
Okay, go on.
Hair and veins. Rami Kaib. Injured a week and a half ago, breaking his jaw while eating a carrot. Love it. He had apparently taken a knock in the previous game that he thought was all right.
Yeah.
But then he was, you know, doing his health and took a big bite out of a raw carrot, broke his jaw. So, yeah, the return of the comedy injury is hot number one.
Was it not?
You don't really hear about them anymore. You don't really hear about, you know, Santiago Canizares dropping a jar of mayonnaise on his foot or whatever it was.
My initial one wasn't Kirk Broadfoot injured by doing something like getting scalded by cooking eggs in a microwave or something like that? I'm not going to check that, but I think that's what happened.
Yeah, I remember somebody in the 90s again, can't remember who, quite badly injured by falling over his cat and going down the stairs. So... Yeah, love a comedy injury. You know, because, like, you know, top flight footballers are so, you know, looked after and pampered, you don't really get a comedy injury anymore. So I'm glad that existed. Mm-hmm. You know, get well soon, Rami Kaib. Yeah. But still, that is quite funny.
That's very good.
What's your hot?
Great. Okay. Just a tweet that I liked, all right, basically. It's a tweet from the account called G4RVE, and it's a very long tweet, but I'm going to summarise it with a question. So basically, it starts out that on the 27th of June 1970, 25 men from 8 countries met in the recently rebuilt Caledonian Hotel in Inverness, which changed the course of football forever.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to guess how that changed football forever? A meeting in a hotel in Inverness.
Meeting in a hotel in Inverness.
27th of June 1970. There is an additional sort of clue that you can have.
Right, first question, is it to do with the rules of the game? Was it a rule change?
This was a meeting of the International Football Association Board.
IFAB.
Which controls the rules of the game.
Yes. Right, was it to do... This is quite quizzy, isn't it? Was it to do with a redrawing of the lines on the pitch?
No, would you like one more go?
Can you give me a clue?
Okay, it has caused probably more sorrow, heartbreak, jubilation than any other rule in football and has affected literally millions of fans.
Is it something to do with offside?
27th of June 1970, 25 men from 8 countries met and they decided that in case of ties, there would be penalty shootouts.
Oh, wow. Okay, good.
So penalties was created in an awful naff 60s built hotel in Inverness.
Well, there you go.
And I thought
from, from such crappy acorns.
Exactly.
The great oaks of footballing truth grow.
It's a very good Twitter thread. It's got a lot of little nuggets of information and bits and pieces like that that obviously for, you know, time constraints, I won't go into, but at G4RVE on Twitter, very well worth a read. Genuinely thought that's the most interesting tweet I've seen in a long time.
That is good, actually, yeah.
So I just wanted to put that on as a hot because I thought it was great. It was either going to be that or it was going to also be Joey Barton looking like he's imminently going to get sacked at Bristol Rovers. So
you know, which he is. Right, here's my final knot. It begins with the question, what's your general feeling about half and half scarves? Are you for them, against them? Do you think they're a nice souvenir of a day out if you're just, you know, going for one game? Uh-huh. What's your general opinion?
I think, right, okay. I mean, I can see a world where that's kind of a cool thing, especially if you're not a real football fan and this is a sort of thing like that. I absolutely draw the line with wearing them and I draw the line with clubs.
Right, okay. So in this case, I'm going to hand you a photograph and I just want your reaction to this photograph. Okay?
Yeah, okay. Yes, yes. I see, like, that's different, right? That's different.
What I've given Sam is a genuine scarf which you can buy.
I will be buying.
Mundial magazine, favourite of slightly tongue-in-cheek hipsters, is now producing a half-and-half Aldi and Lidl branded scarf. So, you know, the mighty contest between two German budget supermarkets can be round your neck 365 days a year. It's incredible.
Can I get the limited edition Austrian version, which has Lidl and Hofer on it? No, right. As somebody who, unironically, has a pair of Lidl trainers.
I know you do.
And I enjoy them. I would absolutely buy that. That's the best scarf I've seen since Sean Locke's Krishnan Guru Murthy. big scarf. That's good. See, I don't mind things like that. I think that's funny. It's the idea that someone has a Manchester United, Manchester City one, yeah, and is going, yeah, to the game. If you're just a sort of a tourist and you want to, you know, to go, oh, well, look, we played Germany because it's Gibraltar you're a fan of.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out. I've got a Scotland Czech Republic half and half scarf that was bequeathed to me by your friend and mine, of course.
Well, that's nice. You know, home nation, adopted nation. That's fine. That's good. Yeah, again, yeah. So, yeah, that was Thought or Not, finishing with the supermarket half and half scarf.
Yeah. Mundial are making these.
Yeah.
Okay, I believe this
I will put a link on the social media for that.
I'm going to need a price point here.
All right. After the break, we're going to come back with a preview of Usti Nad Labem and possibly the price of a scarf. We are doing a long trip, aren't we?
You're doing a longer trip.
Yes, but we're going to Usti Nad Labem. It looks like I'm heading to Berlin afterwards because I've taken a long weekend.
So. It looks like you've booked accommodation, right?
Yeah, that's true. I am going to Berlin afterwards.
I'm not.
Hopefully, I'm going to time it to coincide with a visit to, hopefully, Tennis Borussia Berlin, who are playing at home to, I think, SV Lichtenberg or somebody in the Regionalliga Nordost or whatever they're in. So,
I think what I might have a look at, actually, in terms of the way back, is to maybe see if I can catch a game on Saturday in Prague.
Good shout, yeah.
And then make my way back over to Brno after that. But yeah. Usti Nad Labem.
Yes, first of all, we've got to get that out of the way, haven't we?
Yeah, not been a great hunting ground for Zbrojovka.
No, to me, the bits we've seen of them when we've been in the same division, they seem, you know, the classic difficult place to go, and they've caused us all sorts of problems. Like, they had that forward line a few years ago that was very tricky. Was it with with Shirley's son? Was he in there?
Was Shirley's son out there? Yeah. This was you're thinking about the game where we should have won and we drew at home with them.
That's right. Yeah.
And there was a very questionable penalty.
Mm.
And then I also think, of course, the first time we were there, and I've never described a 2-2 draw like this. But we were absolutely humped by whose team.
We were, yeah.
For most of 90 minutes, we were just absolutely scuttered by them, and we were lucky to get over there with a point.
Yes. So we're going back there again. What can we expect?
A long trip.
Aside from that.
A long trip. There's a good bar. It's cheaper. It's that nice castle.
Yeah.
Football. Yeah, okay. So they are nothing if not consistent. 5th, 7th, and 5th.
Uh-huh.
The last 3 seasons. So they're 10th currently, mostly because they draw a lot. Right. So they've only lost to Sparta B and Jihlava, but they were also knocked out of the cup by Loco Viltaveen, which is not a great result. And they've featured in a few entertaining draws. You might remember us speaking briefly about the Příbram draw in the last podcast,
yes,
the 2
each.
Right,
yeah.
And, you know, they tend to concede a lot of goals this season, is what I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they've had a couple of, a pair of 2 each draws. They won 3-2, I think, against Chrudim. So they will concede. And they tend to be a sort of a solid sort of team at the back, actually. And they're an easy viewing team. I don't put them down as, like, say, for example, like a Varnsdorf, for example, which are a team that will dig in, sort of a battling sort of thing.
Yeah, they're a perfectly decent second division side, aren't they? You know, they'll ruffle a few feathers. They play decent football for the level.
They play nice football, and we tend to sort of have a little bit of a struggle against them sometimes. But a couple of signings that catch the eye for me are Mavis Ogiomade. Mavis Ogiomade. So young Nigerian winger comes on loan from Bohemians.
Not a character from Coronation Street.
No, not just yet. He's
not just yet.
I don't know.
that would be a career path.
Yeah. Coming on number 12, Vera Duckworth.
Yeah. Ustinad Labem, and then like Weatherfield Rovers.
Dun, 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 dun. Mavis is all right. He looks pacey.
Good.
He's quite young as well. I think he's like 19, 20. What I thought was a kind of a cool signing is Lorenzo Gonzalez. Yeah, former Man City under 18 and under 23 academy prospect.
Lovely stuff.
So of course he's no longer there, like every other Man City prospect.
Still.
But he's on loan from St. Gallen in the Swiss Super League.
Oh, by the way, can I very quickly, on a sort of related note, can I mention a brilliantly odd transfer that went through?
Yes,
today?
Please.
Cardiff City's Kadeem Harris joining Metalist Kharkiv.
Nice.
Yes.
I love ones like that.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
Yeah, I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, I love stuff like that. Like the random guy from Liverpool, from like Everton Youth or whatever, that ended up like going to Paderborn.
Yeah.
Very into that sort of stuff. So that he could be quite good.
Lorenzo Gonzalez.
I'll be honest, I haven't seen Lorenzo Gonzalez so much yet. They're a reasonably tough team. They will do the 4-2-3-1 on you. And they do have some experienced players like Jiří Miskovic. So there is a little bit of sort of stability there, but there's also the problem. It's kind of funky that they're a really young team.
Mm.
So I, because I'm sad as fuck, right? I went and totted up the average age of the 11 that started the last game against Varnsdorf.
Of course you did.
And they have an average age of 23.
Oof, that is young.
And that's high due to Miskovic and Prosek. You know Prosek, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Reasonably handy, former Bohemians player. They're both 28. There's nobody on Ustinad Labem's books over 30.
Woof, okay.
I think 28th is the highest.
Wow.
We go, which is really kind of interesting. Prosek's yet to get off the mark this season. I think they're his... he's their captain.
Mm. At the age of 28, their most experienced player.
Quite handy. And we don't... Remember, we had a... I might be wrong here. It might be Martin Veit, but we had a discussion with somebody on this podcast. And one thing that was brought up that actually until then I'd never really thought about was terms of like finances in football and finances in the Czech Second League, for example, is that you don't really have teams, and I don't think we do this at all, go overnight to a town to then, you know, warm up properly and things like that. So you're going to have players that are on a bus journey, and Ústí is a hike. It's not the furthest we'll be playing this season, but it is a hike. And then that, you know, you then have that sort of difficulties as well, sort of getting warmed up. You've been sitting in a bus for, you know, 5 hours.
And I'll tell you who it was. It was Jurij Floda when we discussed the difference between
playing at home and playing away.
No, it was when was it when Michalek came in? He stopped the overnight thing. Schuster was doing it, and Michalek said, "No, get a good night's sleep in your own house, and we'll just set out rather than hoteling it." Mm-hmm. That's what it was, yeah.
Because I think for some games you need a hotel. I'm not into this thing where every, you know, if you're a Premier League player or whatever in England or something like that, you do this every game, right? For a 3 o'clock kickoff, like 2 hours away. I don't get it. But for ones like this, where it is a reasonably decent trip and, you know, you'll be getting up, you'll be doing maybe a sort of a warm down, warm up thing, you know, in your own stadium, getting on a bus and then you're there.
Yeah, and then driving, I don't know how many hours, it's 5.5, 6 hours drive, it's a fair whack.
I don't think it's actually as far as that, actually.
Actually, no, if it's 3 hours to Prague on the bus plus, okay, so 4.5 hours maybe.
Because yeah. I was thinking about doing our, you know, when we're doing our journey as well, like close to it's not 2.5 hours to Prague anymore on the train, is it? So it's a little bit longer now because there's delays.
Yeah.
Than that, and then you're 90 minutes.
Yeah, it's about 4.5 hours, yeah.
There's, I mean, I'm not expecting a huge turnout of Zbrojovka fans for this one. I am expecting to have a fucking great night, and I'm going to be absolutely shit-faced.
Yeah, I unfortunately will not be.
Because I think we'll draw.
Well, because I have to get up for a 7:39 train.
Is that going to be, is that you? 7:39?
7:39 you're booked train already. Yeah.
Well, David, we'll say our goodbyes in the evening, because I'm not getting up for that.
That's fine. Anyway, yes, talking of things that get you shit-faced, beer of the podcast.
I forgot we even had that as a feature.
Well, yes. We do, and it's now. It's beer of the podcast, let's come and get it down. It's
beer of the podcast, it was my turn to get the round.
Good, beer of the podcast. It was your turn to get the round, and oh, we should also mention by now, how much was that little oldie half and half scarf?
£18.50.
£18.50. It's a lot for a scarf.
It's a lot for a Lidl scarf.
Also, you know, living here, and thanks Brexit, we'll have to pay about 5 times that much on import tax now as well.
Yeah, probably.
And wait about 8 months to get it.
Yeah, I don't think I'll find it funny by then.
Yeah.
Especially when I know I can go into Lidlshop.cz and I can probably get a scarf that just says Lidl, a full scarf. Back my team completely.
Yes, exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
I'm a Lidl fan.
Anyway, we've got Beer of the Podcast. Did you go to Lidl for Beer of the Podcast?
I did not. I went to the place beside me.
And, oh, okay.
I was about to buy my usual bullshit because I saw like this. Oh, this is a nice, it's limited edition 10 degree blueberry sour. And I was like, oh, there was a lychee sour. And I was like, well, this is absolutely my sort of stuff. And then I saw this bottle, and this bottle, David, is going to be presented to you without comment.
Okay. Right. It's a Mazak. I shall describe the label to you. It's called Rainbow of Death. It has a picture of a rainbow on it with a man smashing into the ground at the bottom of it.
Yeah, violently striking down a man who looks clearly absolutely hammered.
Yeah, so, that's the thing. It's 6.5%.
I believe the rainbow... the rainbow...
it's the name of the hops?
I think this is going to be hazy as fuck.
So, Sriracha Ace, Amarillo, Citra, Columbus, Mosaic, Cascade, and Chinook, I assume are the hops used.
I read the first one as Sriracha.
And
I thought this was going to be, like, you know those Bean Boozled? Where you have the jelly beans and it's like, is this either cherry or sriracha?
Right, yeah.
Or coconut or baby wipes?
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be one of those ones where you could open the beer and it's either going to be like sriracha beer or something. But no, I looked at it called Rainbow of Death and I was like, well, this choice has been taken out of my hands.
Yeah.
So this is not the sort of beer that I tend to drink at all. So Bertie, I'm probably going to hate it.
Bertie Bott's Every Flavour Beans.
There you go.
It's a Harry Potter reference.
Well, really. Sammy Beaton's Every Hop fucking booze.
Every Hop beer, right. So let's have a go on this, shall we? It is a nice colour. It's a very, very deep yellowy orange.
It's an IPA sort of thing, because yeah. For me, David, it smells like weed.
It smells unbelievably fruity. It's really, really, really sweet smell.
My mouth is drying out just smelling it.
Okay, well, here we go. So that's that then. Here we go, a bit of dead air for you.
No.
No?
No.
You hate this shit, though, don't you?
Hate IPAs.
And you're right. At the back, it's super dry as it goes down. Yeah. I can...
It's more super dry than fucking Glasgow town centre, man.
Yeah. I can feel the back of my tongue shriveling up as it goes down. That's really...
fuck me, man. That was like 140 crowns.
Well, that's a mistake you won't make again.
But I did it for the retweets, David.
Right. Initial... Well, the five we'll get, yeah.
If we're lucky.
The initial flavour I like. I don't like how violently dry the end of that is. That really is tough.
You know what? Just like... All right. I have a sort of a category for these sorts of things. And I call them meme beers, basically. So these are beers where it's like, there's absolutely no need to do any of this sort of shit, but you do it anyway because it's funny or it's quirky or something like that. Some meme beers can be good. One of the best beers that we've had on here, the one that tastes exactly like a blueberry muffin.
Yes.
Unbelievable beer. This is just, oh look, we can have as many colours of the rainbow as there are hops, and we're going to call it Rainbow of Death.
Yeah.
And you know what happens when you put a load of hops in a beer?
Tastes like this.
Gets really fucking dry.
Yeah.
No. I should have gone for the lychee sour.
You should have gone for the lychee sour.
But it was called Rainbow of Death, and it has a guy that is just out of his nut on the cover.
Well, next time it's your turn, you know which way you should turn.
Gone down the jab can, we could have had, here's beer of the podcast, Kozel 10. You know? Yeah. Oh, kind of tastes just like a normal lager. Wow, there's your review. Done. You know.
However, we are going to need reinforcement because in a couple of weeks we are playing the appalling proposition that is Sparta Prague B, and you're going to tell us a bit about that after this. Struggling with that beer, aren't you? It's really like we finished that previous section and you just ran to the bathroom. Was that weird?
I actually genuinely needed a right. Piss. No, this one is like you know what this is giving me sort of nightmare visions of? It's sitting in a pub with people drinking stuff like that, and one of them's got a flat cap on. No offense, David.
I was going to say, speaking, this is me, isn't it?
It's speaking in a broad, I'm not going
Midlands.
To say, or some sort of Derbyshire sort of thing, and it's going, you know me, I say what I think, and it's all these Muslims, no.
Right.
Sucking down on this, not allowed lager, that's for girls, no, none of this, no ciders, no cocktails, no, you've got to drink real ale because you're a real man, and I'll tell you what I think about the homos, no. No. We can cut that bit if you want, but it's just giving me nightmare visions.
So Sparta B, what are we...
on that. Right. You know the saving grace of having to do a preview about Sparta B?
What's that?
Don't have to talk about transfers, do I? Because that's where true, do all the transfers come from?
Yes, exactly.
The under 19s, yeah. Or the under 23s or whatever. They got Dalibor Večerka from Opava,
right.
Who didn't really get a game much. Just, right. What could have been a potential hot for us this podcast would have been the sensational start to the season that's Zbrojovka Brno B have had,
where
they have won 7 wins from 7 and I believe scored something like 28 goals. They won at the weekend 7-1. Do I want to have a B team in the second tier of a national football setup?
No.
No, I don't. And I'll happily take that, you know, that contrast. But
by the way, quickly, you remember when you said this league was pretty dreck this year?
Yeah.
Sparta B sitting second absolutely sums that up.
This is one of my things. Sparta B have beaten Chrudim, Prostějov, Příbram, Taborsko, Ústí, and now Vyškov. Prostějov they beat 4-0.
Yeah, it's... Oh.
They put 4, I believe, also past a pretty okay-looking Mastaborsko.
Yeah, down with this sort of thing.
This is my biggest fear this season. It's not about going up. It's not about, you know, what we were maybe seeing at the start of the season where we looked like we could potentially even be a bottom six, bottom five team because of Dostalek. My biggest fear is that when you talk to Zborovka fans and you say, who do you consider your biggest rivals? You are going to get one of two out of probably three answers, and that's going to be Sparta, it's going to be Banik Ostrava, and it's going to be Slavia. So imagine then dropping point, not just losing, but dropping points to Sparta Prague's B team at home. Terrifying. Like, embarrassing. Like all those wankers on Twitter.com that any team has a bad result and they put that delete club. Awful.
And you did, you went slightly Gordon Ramsay there for a minute. Terrible. Embarrassing.
What shame. It's,
frankly, that it is so bad. Close this club down. Shut it down.
Shut it down. Shut it down.
Embarrassing. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Shame.
What shame. What shame. They look like goal scorers, and that's my big problem as well. The three main forwards, Sheik, Kozik, and Minchev, have 7 between them. Minchev scored a brace on Saturday against Vyškov.
Is he from somewhere very odd? Is he Azeri or something like that?
Probably.
His name rings a bell. I think he's from Azerbaijan or somewhere like that.
All right. Good to see that we're growing the domestic game by having our B teams full of exports. Then,
yeah. I might be wrong. It's just that name rings a bell for some reason.
Just turning into a B team rat, and I'm fine for it. Like, this is the one thing, you know, that the Celtic and Rangers B are now in the Lowland League in Scotland. Because the Lowland League cynically sold their souls for a 3,000 payoff per club. And the whole thing that we've always had in Scottish football is, but if you allow Celtic and Rangers to have B teams in the league, then we're going to strengthen the national product and blah, 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 blah. So there's Rangers B signing these players from fucking Colombia. And you're like going out to play fucking East Kilbride and Berwick Rangers. Fuck off. 4-4-2 they play their Sparta B.
That's a refreshingly old school approach.
To give them their due, they have a 4-4-2 and they sometimes fuck around with a diamond. And I like the diamond. I like a diamond 4-4-2. So this is pleasing. Which, just to finish on a laugh, would you like to know their attendances?
Yeah, go on.
All right, so their home attendance.
Where are they playing?
They're not playing at Strakov.
I think they are playing Strahov, like on the sort of training bit.
Evgen, yeah. So it's which is technically has a capacity of 1,000, I think. Their home attendance average is 487.
Right.
And this is higher than it should be because a season high 835 saw them against Zhizhkov, Zhizhkov battered them 3-0. Okay. And that's because everyone from Zhizhkov went to go watch Victoria play. I believe their lowest was something like 300 odd. I have no more notes on this.
Okay.
Basically, this preview was just more about my terror at the idea that we could drop points to Sparta Prague B.
And you're right to be fearful. So, yes.
Would you like the... I know we've only got a few minutes left. Would you like the counter-argument, though?
Yeah, go on.
Counter-argument is, obviously, if Sparta Prague were to win the league, they can't go up.
Yes, yeah, that's true. So
if we were in and amongst it. However, I was thinking about this and going, well, you know, maybe that is a viable reason, even if it is a crap league, to have them up there. And then I thought again, do I trust the Czech FA to give an automatic promotions place if Sparta Prague are at the top? Absolutely, I don't at all. No, so they're still going to have a fucking playoff against fucking Zlín.
Yeah. If Sparta finished top, yeah, you can absolutely see the Czech FA going, well, they have finished top, but they can't go up. But you finished second, so we can't put you up because Sparta technically finished top. So, yeah, playoff only it is.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to go out and goal difference to fucking Teplice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
Bring on Karvina,
Do you want the other point that I have just absolutely not looked into, but it's an interesting thought?
What's that?
Seeing as UEFA stopped all this away goals thing or whatever, do you think the Czech League will?
Well, you know, they're going to have to play with the same ball in each game first.
True. Oh dear.
On that bombshell.
On that sort of slight streak of terror. I mean, it's gone very downhill, this podcast, hasn't it? Awful beer to, well, I mean,
if, well, you've, for you.
If you've got,
I've enjoyed this podcast. I think it's been fun.
I've had a good time.
Good.
And probably because I got out of work early and I've just been drinking as well. Yeah, that's fine. A little bit.
Anyway, we're going to watch University Challenge and Only Connect from last night.
We're going to book our transport and a place to stay in Usti.
That's true. We're first going to book transport to Usti, then we're going to watch the quizzes, and follow us on all the socials at Sproy Offcast on Facebook and Twitter.
If you brew better beer than this one and would like to sponsor us, please hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. We will happily drink your beer for free and give you a shout out.
Give you a shout out, yes. For that, follow us on the socials for all of our treks around the northwestern Bohemia brown coal basin, as charming as it sounds.
My first big one out.
Yes, exactly. So, thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you again in a couple of weeks.
Bye.
Well, I don't know, but I've been told uranium ore is worth more than gold. So, my cad, I bought me a Jeep. I got that bug, and I can't sleep. Uranium fever has gone and got me down. Uranium fever is spreading all around. With a Geiger counter in my hand,
I'm going out to stake me some government land.
Uranium fever has gone and got me down. Well, I had a talk with the AEC, and they brought out some maps that looked good to me. And one showed me a spot he said he knowed, so I straddled my Jeep and headed down the road. I reckon I drove about 100 miles down a bumpy road out through the wilds, when all of a sudden I bounced a stop at the foot of a mountain, didn't have no top. Uranium fever has done and got me down. Uranium fever is spreading all around. With a Geiger counter in my hand,
I'm going out to stake me some government land.
Uranium fever has done and got me down. Well, I took my Geiger and I started to climb right up to the top, where I thought I'd find a hunk of rock that'd make it click, just like I'd read about Vernon Pick. On the second day, I made the top, and I'm telling you, Steve, I was ready to stop. The only clicking that I heard that day was the bones in my back that had gone astray. Uranium fever has done and got me down. Uranium fever, it's spreading all around. With a Geiger counter in my hand,
I'm going out to stake me some government land.
Uranium fever has gone and got me down. Well, you pack up your things, you head out again into some unknown spot where nobody's been. You reach the spot where your fortune lies. You find it's been staked by 17 other guys. Well, I ain't kidding, I ain't gonna quit. That bug's done caught me and I've been bit. So with a Geiger counter and a pick in my hand, I'll keep right on staking that government land. Uranium fever has done and got me down. Uranium fever is spreading all around. With a Geiger counter in my hand,
I'm going out to stake me some government land.
Uranium fever has done and got me down.